Welcome to Conversations with Creative Waco, the show that brings you the stories and voices shaping Central Texas's creative landscape. I'm your host, Fiona Bond. It's the start of a brand new year, and there's already a lot to celebrate across Waco's vibrant arts scene. Whether it's on stage or on the walls of our city's most innovative new building, the power of creativity is helping to set the tone for what promises to be a truly unforgettable 2026. Today we'll hear from two incredible women who are lighting up Waco in very different ways, one with her voice and the other with her paintbrush. First, I'll be joined by Holly Tucker, country singer-songwriter, who's stepping into the spotlight this month in Waco Civic Theatre's production of 9 to 5 The Musical, playing the role made famous by none other than Dolly Parton. Then we'll turn to Ali Walker, one half of the muralist duo who just completed three awe-inspiring high-tech murals for the brand new Bledsoe Miller Steam Center. Their work blends community, creativity, and cutting-edge design in a way that's bringing art and science to life, literally. Let's dive in. My first guest is a Waco native who's no stranger to the big stage. Holly Tucker is an award-winning singer-songwriter, country music artist, and a dynamic performer who's made a name for herself as a recording artist and live entertainer. Now she's taking on a brand new role, Dolly Parton's character in 9 to 5, the musical, which opens at Waco Civic Theatre in just a couple of weeks. Holly, welcome to Conversations with Creative Waco.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, this is such a pleasure. I've followed your career for a while and always been impressed and wowed by your voice. But your musical journey began right here in Waco. Tell us a little bit about your background. How did you get started performing as a vocalist?
Well, my parents are both incredibly talented singers and musicians, and they were basically my first teachers in a non-professional sense. But there was music all over our household growing up. We would always get around the piano and just sing as a family, me and my two older brothers. And it was just a family effort. We just loved it. We fell in love with music. And, you know, my dad was always the worship pastor somewhere. So our house was always filled with both gospel and country music. And so the two kind of blended for me growing up. And I got on stage at a very early age for the first time when I was about 7 years old and fell in love with performing and just kept on doing it and kept on getting on any stage that I could for the practice. And I loved it, and so I never stopped, and yeah.
It's so clear that you loved it from watching you perform. You are, I know a lot of people who are very good musicians, very good singers, but you have a quality about you that is very invitational. I think you are great at inviting people into your performances. So it's so interesting hearing that background and how much it's part of your family's story. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen you on many stages. I think most of Waco has. But this is a bit of a new venture for you because you will be acting as well as singing. Is that something you've been doing alongside the singing, or is this a new venture for you?
I have never acted in any sort of professional sense before.
Wow.
So this is completely new for me, unless you count acting from the entertainment aspect of it, of country music. You know, I've gotten on stages big and small for the last, you know, couple of decades of my life. And, you know, you have to be a little bit different in each one of those scenes.
You have
to connect with people in different ways, depending on your audience, depending on who they are and where they're coming from. So in that sense, I guess you could kind of call that acting, but never with a script, never with a, you know, specific what they call blocking, you know, never any of that. And this is also a musical. So it's kind of, it's blending my comfortable world of music and performing and entertaining with this new world for me of acting and emoting in that way. So.
Wow. I mean, that's a really big departure then from the way that you normally perform on a stage. How do you feel it's going? What's been the biggest challenge of that process for you?
I think rehearsals are well underway now at this point. And so I'm having a lot of fun just, you know, learning from the experiences of my castmates, because a lot of people at the Waco Civic Theater have done this many times before. And there's also people like me who've never done it before. So I feel like I'm learning from all different levels of it. And I think the most challenging part for me is like memorizing all of the lines that they're, there's a lot of dialogue.
Yes, absolutely. So, it's this is a big undertaking. Well, and big shout out to Waco Civic Theatre, because exactly as you described, they are such, they provide a very, I think, accessible way, pathway for people who have not been on the stage before to find themselves right alongside people who've been doing this all their lives. And it's always a joy to watch their productions because I always see new people on the stage that maybe I know from other spheres of life. And that's really fun. You've got an excellent cast too.
I really do. I'm so blessed to be learning from these people.
Well, you are stepping into a role that was, of course, made iconic by Dolly Parton, someone who is not only a country music legend, but also a champion of kindness, humanity, empowerment. What does that role mean to you? There are kind of two layers there of both the character that you're playing, but also the fact that you are essentially stepping into the Dolly Parton role. What does she mean to you, and how does that feel?
Well, you know, like I said earlier, growing up with country music, I mean, she's one of the staples growing up with her music running through our house. And I even have done projects on her in school. I've done research on her and her life and her upbringing. And so I know that she is essentially a rags to riches kind of story, but she's always kept that humble heart and that sweet spirit and just the kind soul that she is. And that kind of thing is what I really relate with, because from a very early age, like, that is what I have wanted to portray in my own music and in my own creation, is just like, no matter what I'm doing, I want to be a light in what is sometimes a dark world. I want to spread joy. I want to spread kindness. I want to spread love. And she is very much like that. So as far as relating with this role of Dora Lee Rhodes in 9 to 5, Dolly herself actually in this movie and in this production, you know, she wrote the music for it, and she kind of also blends worlds. Mm-hmm. She is not playing Dolly Parton in this movie. She is playing a character named Dora Lee Rhodes that has a lot of similarities and mannerisms of Dolly. So it's kind of halfway her and halfway another character, which is kind of what I feel like I'm doing. I mean, I relate with her character and her upbringing and, you know, just the values that she holds. And so in order to play this role, I already feel that connection there. And that has really helped me to connect with her character.
I love that. And I also love how acting opens up that possibility of stepping into what it feels like to be somebody else who might have similarities and intersections with your own life, but also allows you to explore an aspect of your life that you might not be able to in real life.
Right.
I know Dolly spoke about, you know, how that particular role allowed her to explore what it might feel like to work a normal day job, which she clearly has not done.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah. We just got back from a trip where, you know, every time we were on the road, I was seeing these billboards that are sponsored by Dolly saying, see, you know, find the good in every person, and love that message. You have lived the life of a working creative. You probably have had opportunities to work anywhere, but you are still here in Waco, which we are incredibly proud of and pleased about. I'm so glad that you've chosen to build your career from here. But how would you describe Waco as a place for musicians and artists to grow?
I think that this is a prime spot for any creative because, I mean, not only are we Waco and we're growing here, but we're getting some of the best from two of the best artistic cities in Texas, Austin and Dallas. We're right in the middle of them. So we're kind of like a little triangle of just all these really intelligent and creative people. And so I think that that's a huge advantage. You don't have to, like for me, everybody thinks you go to Nashville if you want to be a country music artist. But you don't have to. We have our own scene right here in Texas. People make very good livings just being right here in Texas. And Waco is a central spot. I mean, it's called the heart of Texas for a reason. So I have intentionally chosen that because, well, my family's here. So that's another thing. I'm very close with my family. But I've just never really needed to go anywhere else. I'm doing well here. I'm enjoying what I'm doing. And I don't have huge desires to be like a Taylor Swift someday. I don't, that's never been really on my on my radar, but I just want to do the best that I can with what I have and enjoy it while doing it.
That is so great to hear. And I'm hoping that our new platform Culturalist allows aspiring musicians, performers, artists, people like you to be discoverable even beyond the kind of parameters that Central Texas allows already. But we are so thankful that you're here. I'm hoping that, I think tickets are already going like hotcakes for the production. But if people want to come and see 9 to 5, the musical, get their tickets. Mm-hmm. You can catch it starting February 12th, running through March the 1st. And for tickets and showtimes, head to wacocivictheatre.org. Holly, thank you so much for joining me. It's been wonderful to hear about your own journey and this opportunity that people have to hear you in this very unique role. If you're just joining us, this is Conversations with Creative Waco. I'm your host, Fiona Bond. A big thank you to Holly Tucker for reminding us that the stage is still one of the most powerful places to tell stories that uplift, empower, and connect us. Coming up next, we're heading to a place where art, science, technology, and imagination collide right here in Waco. But first, here's David Smith with this week's edition of David and Art, which you can hear every Monday during Morning Edition and All Things Considered here on KWBU.
Concluding his exploration of the historical Kennedy Center, here's David Smith with this week's edition of David and Art.
As it had been for Eisenhower, a project to build a National Cultural Center for the Performing Arts was, for President John Kennedy, a strong and clear international statement. In addition to its potential role in American cultural life, it was an answer to all the cultural activities by the Soviet Union. Kennedy noted that because all the great capitals of the world had a national performing arts center, Washington was sorely and obviously lacking. This national building would fill that void and, in so doing, energize the whole nation. Kennedy assured the center's board of trustees that his administration, like the previous one, would give the project every possible support, but progress still went forward at a snail's pace. Hoping to energize the fundraising campaign, early in 1962, he appointed former First Lady Mamie Eisenhower and First Lady Jackie Kennedy as honorary co-chairs of the center. In October, he announced that the week after Thanksgiving would be National Cultural Center Week. The highlight would be a gala event on the 29th called An American Pageant of the Arts. That Thursday evening was cold and clear as the formally dressed crowd gathered at the vast National Guard Armory on the east side of town near the new municipal stadium. Dinner began at 7 o'clock and the show at 9:30. The President and First Lady were there along with the Vice President and Mrs. Johnson. Dwight and Mamie Eisenhower joined in via closed-circuit television from Augusta, Georgia, where they were vacationing. Leonard Bernstein served as the host, while Pablo Casals, Marian Anderson, Van Cliburn, Harry Belafonte, Robert Frost, Bob Newhart, Hal Holbrook, and many others took part. A 7-year-old cello prodigy named Yo-Yo Ma performed, accompanied on piano by his 11-year-old sister. The U.S. Navy Band played, in part because both the President and Vice President had served in the Navy during World War II. Actor Danny Kaye conducted the National Symphony Orchestra, doing a comedic imitation of Bernstein that brought the house down. Communities large and small all around the country watched the broadcast and called in pledges. Roger Stevens, the current chairman of the center's board, noted that while the country had been founded by people seeking freedom of thought and expression, that concern had never properly been reflected among our national monuments here in Washington. The National Cultural Center would fix that, if they could get it built.
David and Art is a production of KWBU. To find this and previous episodes, look under the Programs tab at kwbu.org.
Welcome back to Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU. If you've driven down Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard lately, You may have spotted some dazzling new murals with glowing colors and inspiring imagery. If so, you've seen the work of Ali Walker, one half of the creative duo behind the murals at Waco's brand new Bledsoe Miller STEAM Center, along with Michelle Michi Wilson. Ali is a Texas-based visual artist known for expressive color, dynamic composition, and movement-driven design. Her work celebrates the energy of flora and fauna, using color theory to create spaces that feel alive, joyful, and welcoming. Community engagement and collaboration are central to her practice, bridging art, environment, and people. Ali, welcome to Conversations with Creative Waco.
Hello, thank you for having me here today.
Well, Ali, we are wowed by your artwork. Tell us a little bit about your story. How did you become a professional artist painting murals all over Texas?
Well, I started really young in the church, doing things for the theater sets and the Sunday school rooms. And then if you fast forward, I got my degree at Texas State in fine art. And I had two public exhibitions in 2019, the year I graduated, with the last one being through a small nonprofit that had to close during COVID that focused on addiction and recovery. Mm-hmm. And I did my senior thesis through that nonprofit and later landed my first mural job through the lady who was a CEO of that treatment center. So my art has always been really community focused and driven towards those spaces that tend to have less light on them. I like drawing attention to not just the animals and the community, but how we can all kind of hear those stories that are commonly misunderstood or left untold.
It's so interesting hearing, you know, we heard from Holly earlier, and so interesting hearing how your own practice is kind of rooted in that same sort of origin story. Mm-hmm. These murals that you have created for Waco are truly stunning, but you are not actually based in Waco. So how did you hear about this opportunity in the first instance, and what drew you and Michi to throw your hat in the ring for this opportunity in Waco?
Well, Michi and I met through our children's school. They go to the same school. And that was about a year and a half ago now, I think. And she is really good at keeping up to date on what projects are kind of going around.
We all need someone like that in our
yes,
lives.
Yes, she is. That is her strength. She fills my cup in that way. And she called me and she had heard about the STEAM project, which the sciences are one of my special interests. I have autism and she knows that about me. So she was like, oh, Ali has to get in on this project. And she asked me if I wanted to do it with her. And we both, I mean, by the end of the day, I think we'd already had the application like halfway filled out. She contacted me that morning and we were just so excited about it. We had to get started on it right away. I love the community aspect, but it's also the encouraging exploration that I think excited me the most to get started on it.
Well, you certainly wowed the panel with your proposal. And these murals have turned out to be truly stunning, but they're also really technologically rich. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about how you approach that aspect of weaving together both the art, creativity side with the technological side. These murals have augmented reality, mm-hmm. but you've also used some really interesting products which kind of lend themselves to curiosity and exploration.
Yeah, so for I don't know if I ever mentioned this to you so far, but this was my first time doing any real animations in a professional setting. So learning how to create the augmented reality and do all the animations and connect those to the art so that your phone pulls it up was a learning process for both Michi and I as well. Once we had the designs approved, that really had to be done first before you could even do the animations, because we had to know what we were going to be looking at so it would line up when you pull up the augmented reality on your phone. I'm having a hard time explaining that one. I'm sorry. Did that?
Well, yes. No, that's. I love that explanation, and I think that, you know, until you have had a chance,
you have to kind of see it.
Yes, to actually see it in person, it's really difficult to describe, because essentially, when you hold your phone up to mm-hmm. these murals, with the, you know, having used the QR code that is available on the accompanying website,
right,
then all of a sudden, magic happens.
Exactly.
So you'll see the hands coming to life, or the butterfly flying, or the rocket taking off, or you can punch the launch button. I mean, there's all kinds of really fun, interactive things that you've created. And you're right. I mean, it's kind of until you've actually experienced that, it's really difficult to describe to people.
Yeah, it's hard to, it's like trying to explain to someone what the ocean has looked like and they've only seen a river.
Yes.
You know? It's like, it's flowing back and forth. It's not just going, you know, how do you explain it? I don't know. One of the best things I saw after finally finishing it was these kids who were looking at it up on their phones and watching like the great blue heron start flying. And they just had this look on their face like they saw Disney World for the first time because the bird was actually coming to life in the picture. And I think a lot of these children, the closest thing they've seen to something like that might be Pokemon Go. And
that was
cool, and it took the nation by a storm. But seeing art like in your own community as opposed to just a game that everybody knows about.
Coming to life.
Yeah. It is so cool to watch that happen. And I think seeing the look on the kids' faces really made it all worth it, really come together at the end.
Well, and I love, too, that you've put in all kinds of little touches, big touches in some cases, with the kinds of paint surfaces, so some pearlescent and glowing paint.
Right, the pearlescence and the black light paint. And Omiji and I had so much fun planning how all that was going to go together. And we spent a few days in the studio just testing swatches and seeing how the colors laid over each other. And when we finally got it done the first day with the first round of pearlescence and the invisible blue, which you can't see at all until you hold up a black light. So there's some invisible elements there.
We are looking forward to doing that at nighttime and bringing black light flashlights to look at it at nighttime, because we've tried it during the day and kind of in cloudy conditions where it's really cool because you can see elements that you can't see with the naked eye. But I think at nighttime that's going to really pop as well. And they change throughout the day. What you've created is something that is not only beautiful to look at from a distance and as you're approaching the center, with really powerful imagery as well, but also something that changes and shifts and then has these kind of amazing interactive elements. It's such an accomplishment.
Thank you so much. I'm glad you enjoy watching it change throughout the day. I think one of my favorite things about murals is that they almost feel like they're alive in multiple aspects, because in one way they're temporary, so you know there's an ending to it. Eventually the wall will be maybe under new management or need an update and get some new art. And then also watching the light change and every eye that gets to walk by it, and it becomes part of their memory.
And just, that in itself is a story, right? I guess the fleetingness of the moment that you have encountering a mural becomes part of the story of the center and the immersive experience that you've created.
Yeah, it's one of the things that sets it apart from maybe gallery art, is the fact that it's temporary and it's so community driven instead of just being something from the artist. It's not just me, it's designed for every community member in mind, from they're just walking up to it to, you know, they're in their elderly years and just having a time with our grandkids. And
well, and that was something that you got to experience in person. Community Paint Day was just last weekend, and you guys had the opportunity to invite members of the public into painting elements for one of the murals. So tell us a little bit about, you know, what you encountered and why that kind of community interaction is important for your practice.
Well, right off the bat, just seeing there were so many different ages, even right in the first round, from there was a grandma there all the way down to kids who were so little they needed help holding the brush, right?
Oh, I love that.
And it was so great. And seeing them come and pick out their colors, and then you'd have other kids especially who would want to walk up to me while I was gluing them up and say, well, what color do you need? What do you want? Because they're so...
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, they're so ready to really be a part of it and not just do their thing. They want to, at a young age, I think a lot of children instinctively or intuitively know that they're part of something. They're part of the group, you know? And that was really fun to watch them all, you know, and also just walk up and be like, oh, where are you going to put mine? You know, can we put it here? Can we put it there? I don't know if you had a chance to go down the slide too, but...
Not yet. I'm looking forward to going down that slide. It looks awesome.
Yeah, some of the kids had asked me if I would do it too. And so we did. I did take a short break and go down the slide. It's really cool.
So. Fantastic. These murals can be seen on the outside of the STEAM Center on MLK Drive in Waco. Thank you, Ali, so much to you and Mitchie for your work here. A huge shout out to you both for helping to bring the outside of the STEAM Center to life in such a bold and beautiful way and an invitational way, I would say. These murals are open to the public all the time, and they really reward that further discovery. There is a website on the Creative Waco pages where you can find the QR codes in order to be able to do the augmented reality experience, and we will share that link in this program. Thank you, Ali, so much for joining me.
Thank you, Fiona. I'm glad to be here.
That brings us to the end of this week's episode of Conversations with Creative Waco. A huge thank you to Holly Tucker and Ali Walker for kicking off 2026 with artistry, ambition, and a whole lot of inspiration. Don't forget, the 9 to 5 musical opens at the Waco Civic Theatre on February 12th, and the Bledsoe Miller STEAM Center is now open and the murals are viewable daily. If you missed part of today's episode or want to listen again, you can find us at kwbu.org for a weekly roundup of arts and cultural happenings in Waco. Sign up for Waco Insider or the Waco Buzz. I'm Fiona Bond, and this has been Conversations with Creative Waco. Until next time, stay curious, stay creative, and keep celebrating the people and projects shaping Waco's cultural future.